Blog Talk Radio.
Scott of the Antarctic. He wrote the symphony soundtrack to that, Symphonia Antarctica, and it's sometimes narrated by Sir Ralph Richardson, who died. His birthday was this week. He also did Serenade to Music, which Leonard Bernstein, Uncle Lenny, opened Lincoln Center with back in 1962, I think it was. Beautiful piece of music. Something you can play at somebody's funeral, person who loves music. Excuse me. And he wrote quite a bit of music. Great English composer. Also, today is the birthday of Pearl Mester. She's the woman who was the hostess in Washington, was known as the hostess with the mostess, and she used to bring all these diplomats, politicians, presidents, and wannabes together. There was a famous movie that soundtrack was written by Irving Berlin called Call Me Madam. They didn't mean that kind of madam. Also today, Dick Gregory, comedian, he was born today. And I think he worked for the post office and he got fired because he was cracking so many jokes. Also, another comedian worked for the Chicago Post Office. Dick Gregory also worked for the Chicago Post Office, I think in the parcel post section as a clerk. Later he got into all this politics, and he was a humorist, but we'll feature again some audio historical excerpts from Will Rogers, who had quite a bit to say about the state of the country during the Depression and the economic collapse. Also today is the birthday of Chris Wallace, who is the son of the other Wallace, Mike Wallace. So the family was actually Russian-Jewish. Born in Chicago, and the name was Wallachinsky, and of course was anglicized. And then the three tenors, remember them? Luciano Pavarotti, it's his birthday today. I understand he was very cheap, that he was flying in first class, of course he needed two seats, and his help, his assistants would fly in coach or, I guess, steerage. And he worked with the Jose Carreras and the other tenor, who's conductor, Mexican, who's now the Placido Domingo, who was born in Mexico, and they put together several concerts around the world called The Three Tenors. among the best today. It's a very important. It's the first Catholic appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, Roger Taney from Maryland, and he was the legal author of the infamous Dred Scott decision, which a lot of it was about 33 pages. I went through it researching for Stephen Mary. A case which is still ongoing. It's in the Federal District Court on overturning the denial of parole, and we'll get into that very soon. Taney also, in his decision that he wrote on denying Dred Scott his freedom, was that also Native Americans were also considered less than that, less value and less than a white man. Also, someone from the Confederacy, probably one of the greatest generals ever to graduate from West Point, a real fine gentleman, Robert E. Lee, died today. He didn't live that long, surprisingly, and he was a perfect gentleman. He was asked to command the Union armies at the beginning of the Civil War, but he said his first loyalty was to his home state, Virginia. And then Alf Landon, who ran in the FDR's first reelection, Alf Landon was governor of Kansas, and Alf Landon was thoroughly trounced at the polls. His daughter, Nancy Kestenbaum, later became a U.S. senator. Among the deaths today, this was an appropriate town, Munich. In 1285, 180 Jews refused to be baptized, so they were burned at the stake. Also, if you ever wore a raincoat, the guy who invented all that and rubbers, the kind you put on your feet, Charles McIntosh, was born, sold the first raincoat, and he was from Scotland. And then in 1915, the Germans, so the Kaiser's army, did something that was horrible, so the world thought. Edith Cavell was a nurse in Belgium, and she was convicted of being a spy, so she was executed. Now, on the Allies' end, there was the Matahari, who was Dutch and Indonesian. She was a spy, or some say she was a double spy, and she was tried and executed, and she was this exotic dancer. So there were two women that were executed in World War One, and this is still relevant today. In 1950, Teddy Roosevelt criticized people who held dual citizenship. We'll get into that another time, because it's still an issue today. We have people like Kevin Ryan, who was former judge here in San Francisco, kangaroo court trials that he held involving Stephen Mary and some other people. His parents are from Ireland. He was born in Alberta, Canada, although he lied about that and perjured himself on that. He has a double or maybe double dual citizenship and also claims to be a United States citizen. And then this is important to San Francisco also. On this date in 1960, Nikita Khrushchev came to the United Nations and behaved like a boar, and he took off his shoe and pounded it on the table. Later, he visited, went around the country as the guest of President Eisenhower, and he was insulted in Iowa and other places. He was denied access to visit Disneyland, so he was going to go home in a huff and torpedo the summit that him and Eisenhower were supposed to hold or meet. And President Eisenhower was a friend of Mayor George Christopher, who was also a special emissary, special ambassador. He asked Mayor Christopher to invite Khrushchev and his wife to San Francisco. And we do have those tapes and those videos, and we will again play them on the anniversary date because it's very important. We are witnessing around the country this Stop Wall Street and Investigate the Banksters, and a lot of these complaints have legitimacy. However, nobody is looking at, or they're not talking about, these bogus nonprofit organizations that have been ripping off the federal poverty programs, which were set up to help people who were poor and those who were economically dislocated, such as losing their job or are on welfare or suffering from natural disasters, whatever. And these programs were set up primarily through the Community Development Block Grant and federal housing. Well, we have these bogus nonprofit groups, which are set up, some of them, by former HUD officials, people who are city employees, such as here in San Francisco and around the country, The person who, the brains behind a lot of this was the late and unlamented Saul Alinsky. And, of course, we have so many slime balls here today still running around claiming that they help poor people, yet they're driving Mercedes, BMWs. They live in multi-million dollar houses and take $1 million or more out of these various organizations, put their whole family in one case, Walden House. When this guy was exposed with his phony academic background, so he claimed, he blew his brains out, and too bad that the public had to support this outfit, and nobody got the money back. But this is one of the sectors of the economy that nobody's looking at, and these nonprofits, these bogus nonprofits, have been political organizations that engage in political activity, and we think illegally, to support and promote the candidacy and re-election of politicians who continue to steer funds towards the organizations. Since the people who are commenting on the economic situation today, you don't have people who can do it in such a way that it has humor, but at the same time it has substance and it's very visceral. And it strikes home to people who ordinarily would be very antagonistic toward the complaints of people who have legitimate complaints of people who have been ripped off or economically dislocated. And I think that nobody has ever come to surpass Will Rogers and his comments on the economy and the American society back in the mid-30s. So I want to play again some of the things that he said, what's wrong with the United States, and then we'll talk about again or replay the audio clip about what he said about government plans. So here's what's wrong with the U.S.
Dancing at a Reisner Weber's restaurant in New York. And while the nation danced, one man watched it all and discussed the topics of the day. He was Will Rogers.
Now, folks, all I know is just what little news I read every day in the papers. Everybody's talking about what's the matter with this country and what the country needs. What this country needs worse than anything else is a place to park your car. What our big cities need is another orange in these orange aid stands. I'm off Ireland for home rule from now on. I read an Irish paper the other day and says liquor is 18 cents a quart. Can you imagine a nation wanting more freedom than that?
Florence Ziegfeld kept bringing Will Rogers back to his follies year after year, and Rogers was a hit as usual. The year was 1914. By this time, the First World War had started. In England, they were singing It's a Long, Long Way to Tipperary. In America, they first sang I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, but that changed to I'm Proud to Be the Mother of a Soldier Boy by 1917. Oh, How I Hate to Get Up in the Morning, Katie, and Hinky Dinky Polly Voo became pop hits, and Over There by George M. Cohan developed into an unofficial anthem, much as God Bless America did 25 years later. Lillian Russell, Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, William S. Hart, and Jack Dempsey sold war bonds. And thinking of more peaceful moments, Earl Carroll and Enrico Caruso wrote a song together called Dreams of Long Ago, and the great Caruso recorded it.
In a dream, just dreams of long ago, dreams of days that we both know, time can never cancel but your mighty dreams until
was ending, John Wanamaker, a department store in Philadelphia, transmitted phonograph record music to John Wanamaker's store in New York without the use of wires. It foretold the coming of a great new segment of showbiz radio.
Now, Will Rogers talks about government plans. And, of course, we hear a lot from Mr. O, and we have Herman Cain and his 999, Huntsman talking about his. We have the Will Romney, Mitt Romney talking about his. Hillary hasn't talked about hers because some people think that she is going to, that the Clintons are going to force Mr. O to resign from the presidency. More and more people are talking about that. But let's hear what Will Rogers, again, had to say about government plans.
In this country, there is not who shall be relieved and whose money shall relieve him, but who shall be the one that plays Santa Claus and actually hands out the presents, you know? That's the main problem today, is who hands out the presents. Here he says he should wear the whiskers. And if you can lift the Hopkins, they say no, we've got sleigh bells ourselves. Governor Talmadge, down in Georgia, he had a plan. It hit a rut and knocked him right out of the bread line last week. Now, it's been a bad week on plans all around. I'm not going to get discouraged, though. In fact, these other failures, well, they've given me confidence, you know. More hope that my plan will be a success. Now, my plans are stated in a nutshell, and in fact, that's where all plans come from. And the nut should never be cracked. But here is my plan in a nutshell. My plan is a plan to end all plans. It's to do away with all plans. That's what it is. There ain't but one place that a plan is any good and that it'll really work, and that's on paper. But the minute you get it off a sheet of paper and get it out in the air and it blows away, that's what. Now, Mr. Roosevelt, he dragged more heat plume arms out of little red schoolhouses.
Now, Will Rogers also had comments on politics and civilization, and it's still very apropos, even nearly 80 years after his death.
Let's get back from these political parties and get back to civilization, for there's nothing in common between politics and civilization. Ain't nothing common between those two at all. As history has shown, the law does vary each succeeding civilization and varies them in accordance to the advancement of the people in that neighborhood. I feel proud that I come from that particular Middle West belt. The civilization had to be buried as it becomes advanced enough. Well, we feel proud that we're the ones to be plowed under first, that's all. In years to come, the archaeologists, we got that right. The archaeologists will dig and find Claremore, Oklahoma, and people will come there to the ruins and dig down and say, here lied a civilization. You know what? Well, then later on, they'll unearth the state capital, you know. And then eventually, as Washington is covered up, on account of it being the least civilized, it'll be the last place covered up. They will excavate in there and find the old capital and decipher some of the old hieroglyphics, you know, that people of those days humorously call law, you know. They let the call them, and they'll come from the four corners. I bet they come from all over the whole country, four corners of the earth, to see what queer race lived there, you know. And they'll find places called banks where the money changers were, you know. Men who in those ancient days lived by interest alone.
Now, here's somebody who worked in the poverty programs, getting back to that, these bogus nonprofits, and here's his experience. He was a whistleblower and he got fired.
As I got more into the budgets and learning that they really had all this money and the fact that they were utilizing this money more for administrative costs and stuff like that, if anything, I think they used most of their funding to pay for the problems that they were having in the Fairfax project over in
Fairfax County.
Okay,
right.
If anything, that was it. They juggled the books in order to have cash flow to deal with that. Because definitely we had no cash. We had no money to take care of the property.
Did you ever see a certified audit?
Oh, never. As a matter of fact, in one of the documents that I took a look at, it doesn't seem that they were ever audited or they actually received extension.
Who are their accountants, do you know?
No idea.
I can find them.
No idea.
But there is no HUD audit because I've asked for one. They're not the only one. Chinese Community Housing. Let's get back to Casneve. There are a lot of them, believe me. Catholic Charities, a lot of these slime. What do you know about Coho?
I don't know anything about Coho.
Where did you go? What address did you go to?
The one over by... Clayton? Yeah,
Clayton.
409 Clayton.
And all I did was I dropped off my declaration of war for IH. Because at that point I was already fired. All I know about Coho was the fact that the director of the San Francisco region was supposed to meet with them on a monthly basis, and that never happened.
Coho covers up for these people because they're all part of a network. I'm going to give you a flowchart. Since we're running short of time here. Yeah, I'm going to make a copy of that.
Okay.
I really need this. To summarize, let's just recapitulate. You were denied access to board of directors meetings. There's no audits that you know of. They get extensions.
Okay, that was part of our interview I did with somebody who was trying to expose the corruption in these bogus nonprofits, which get millions of dollars from federal poverty programs to help people in situations just like we're seeing today. And, of course, no audits, juggling books, harassing whistleblowers, firing them, all kinds of violations, even extends to sexual assault on children. These organizations are totally out of control, but they're also the new political organizations because they run voter registration and voter programs for the people who they control in the housing projects that have been funded by the American taxpayer. This is one of the biggest biggest censored stories in the United States. This week was Fleet Week in the in San Francisco, and of course the Russians weren't here this time, but they were here last month. And I'm going to replay the interview, and we did several exclusive interviews with young Russian sailors. Remarkably, they speak very good English. Sometimes I think it's better than their Russian. And don't forget, spies. And this is the new generation. They have access to Facebook, laptops, and a few of them may have wanted to jump ship. But hopefully this may be when these people come to power, because they're the sons of the intelligentsia. And I guess their parents, who grew up under communism, are still well positioned in the Soviet society. And these kids, these young boys, young men, will be the future leaders of Russia, and maybe they'll be more democratic. But here's a very brief interview with this kid, and I'll put it up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site.
You're cadets, huh?
Yes.
Ah. And then what do? You have a choice to go in the Russian Navy or the Army or what? Or go to school, university?
I will be Navy, where I consulate my study in Maritime College.
Oh, okay. What, do you go to St. Petersburg then?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Very famous naval base. Yeah, do you know Rimsky-Korsakov, the great Russian composer?
Yes,
sir. He was there. He was the bandmaster. He was on a Russian ship. He
in
composed.
This country, he's popular?
Oh, very much. His music, Scheherazade, all the operas, Mulata. What else? I'm a musician, so I know these things.
Okay.
So I was going to, I had an opportunity to go to Russia, but.
Yeah, I didn't go, or was unable to go. Now, this week, everybody is mourning the death of Al Davis, the owner, or the majority owner of the Oakland Raiders, the bad boys of the National Football League. But if, people have forgotten that one of the major minority stockholders was the late Gladys Sargent, Gladdy as she was known. Through marriage, she was related to John Singer Sargent, the great painter. She was wealthy in her own right, and she was the premier animal lobbyist for the state of California. And I wrote an article for San Francisco Magazine, and I did an interview with her, which we will play later. But she used to complain about Al Davis and, you know, how he was handling her share of the stockholders, the minority stockholders' money, and why they weren't winning games. Great lady, and just wanted to bring that up, you know, because everybody's talking about Al Davis, but they're forgetting that there was a minority stockholder, and she was famous in her own right. We're hearing again another book's out. Since Mr. O has gotten rid of said he kept the campaign promise that he was going to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the prohibition on open homosexuality and lesbianism in the American military. However, there are a lot of unanswered questions, and, of course, as we said earlier, there's an agenda now, and they're openly talking about health benefits for, quote, their lovers, their partners, these phony organizations that successfully lobbied to eliminate Don't Ask, Don't Tell are now talking about allowing gay marriage, allowing adoption of children, bringing in foreigners who are the lovers and, quote, husbands or wives of these now openly homosexual, lesbian military servicemen. But nobody's looking at what has happened with the history of this. Goes back over 100 years, back to Colonel Rado. We had Burgess and McLean scandals. We had the Esterhazy scandal in France. We ran a male whorehouse. This is a captain in the French army. Set up, he was spying for the Germans, and he set up Captain Alfred Dreyfus. We had the Burgess and McLean scandals here in the theft of the atomic bomb. In Britain, Klaus Fuchs, East Germany. All these people in our time, and then most recent is Bradley Manning, who was openly homosexual, marched in these parades in England, U.S. Army private, and gave all these secrets, publicized them, the military secrets. Personally, we think he should be executed, but we'll see what happens. He's sitting in Fort Leavenworth, and we'll see how long he stays there. But anyway, we'll be back Friday, the best of the week, and we'll have more on the economic situation. We'll hope to have that interview with Gladys Sargent, and we'll end with our theme, politics and poker. And we've seen, I didn't see any poker in New Hampshire. We will see what happens. And with the Republican candidates, I think the people are beginning to get tired of this. And let's get on with some more programs that they proposed. Now, let's examine them and see if they will replace what's been going on with the Democrats. So let's end with our usual theme, politics, and maybe they all should sit down and play poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
We gotta pick more than candidates for Congress. We gotta pick a president, presidential candidate, who isn't owned by the bankers or the bogus nonprofits. This is Peter Paul Rizzola. Good night. Be back Friday.